All I can say to that is hurry up already. We're getting tired of waiting. We're getting tired of waiting. We want those tares gathered and burned. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here along with Pastor Steve. And
this hey.
This is Yahweh's Covenant People. And tonight, it's either going to be a one or two show episode about the fall feasts, because we've done in-depth, detailed study of the three feasts in the spring, and although I think we just briefly covered Pentecost, but today we're going to start on the fall feast because those feasts are coming right up. So what we're just going to do is talk about the Hebrew fall feasts, what they mean, and the scriptures that pertain to these feasts. And Pastor Steve, since you're translating the material as we speak, you're probably the world's expert on the true meaning of the Hebrew feast days. Pick it up, right? Feast of Trumpets.
Okay, yeah. I doubt very much that I'm the world's expert, but done a heck of a lot of study on this. And let's go to the book of Leviticus, ladies and gentlemen, and go to chapter 23, verse 24. Now, this covers the Feast of Trumpets, and I doubt very much that your Bible will say what it says in the Hebrew, which I've translated into English. I will read the Hebrew first.
Okay.
Daber el bnei Israel lemor, bakodesh hashbi'i be'ekad lakodesh yeye lachem shabbaton, zikron terua mikra kodesh. Kol melecheth aboda lo ta'asu, Wahikrabitem Ishe Layahweh. All right.
Okay.
And that says literally, speak to the children of Israel. Okay.
Yes.
Daber el b'nei Israel lemor, saying, in the seventh month, actually the month seventh, Bakodesh month, Hashbi'i seventh, on the first Be'ekad of the month, Lakodesh,
okay,
it is to you, Yehyeh Lachem, a Shabbaton, 7677, a memorial, 2146, Zikron, of crying of trumpets, as a cry of joy. That's 8643, and it's one word. It's a long, means long blast.
Right.
On the shofar, teruah, 8643.
Okay.
A holy convocation. Mikra, 4744, that's a convocation. Kodesh, 6944, holy. You shall do no servile work, okay? Kol melecheth aboda lo ta'asu. All work of service you shall not do, in the Hebrew, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh, what Hikra Betam, that you offer an offering, Ishe, an offering made by fire, one word, La Yahweh, to Yahweh. Well, we don't do that offering anymore because the temple is gone.
Right.
The tabernacle and Holy of Holies is gone. The Levitical priesthood is gone, but we still blow the trumpets in celebration of joy.
Right.
To Yahweh. We do that. And that's all it entails. It's not going to be... It's not a big feast. It's a one-day deal, a 24-hour thing. And that's coming up sundown of the 18th, which is this coming Sunday, to sundown, pardon me, of the 19th, which is the Monday. And it is a weekly Sabbath as well.
Uh-huh.
But it's a high Sabbath, and I'm going to drive my neighbors crazy all day. Because that crazy Israelite's at it again, blowing that horn.
Right.
And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I open the window and I blast out so the whole neighborhood can hear it. And they can't do anything about it because it's a religious observance.
That's right. Very good. Yeah. So
that's what that is. The crying of the trumpets. You sound that through the whole land. That's the whole story of it.
Right.
It's a cry of joy throughout the land. So that's why I blow it out the window.
Yes.
So everybody can be irritated.
That's right. I don't know, it's joy. Yeah, you're making everybody happy, right?
Oh, yeah, and
that's funny, because they don't mind hearing gunshots all night long. Right?
But when are there filthy mouth rap music, they'll listen to that.
Right, right.
And now, it doesn't matter what color they are, white or black, they all listen to that garbage these days.
That's right, that's right. Well, I heard the word Kodesh in that Hebrew.
And that is month.
And that is month. I'm looking at the Esor definition here, and it says from 2318, the new moon, it says, but we don't find the term new moon actually
That's another little added thing that they did.
Right.
They've changed the definition. It means month.
It means month. Right.
Yeah.
So the first day of the month, and that's in the middle of the verse. So in the seventh month, in the first day of the month,
the sundown of the 18th and the 19th begins the first day of the seventh month, regardless of the Gregorian calendar. That it says September, we ignore that. Our calendar is the same year to year.
Right.
Their dates change, and our holy days appear on different days in the Gregorian calendar because it is not static. It is not a holy calendar. Ours is. Right.
Yes. Well, we go by the Tekufa, that is the seasons.
Tekufa, that's right. We use the solar calendar. I tell everybody, I use the solar calendar.
Right.
And they can use whatever they want. I can't shove this down anybody's throats. That's not what I'm here for.
Right, right.
Okay, I can only try to lead by example.
Amen, amen. I'm going to quote now Numbers 29:1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, and that's the way it's translated in the King James, and they use the word month, they don't use the word new moon. Mm-hmm. On the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing of trumpets unto you. And let's see, holy here is Kodesh, Q-O-D-E-S-H.
Right.
And
that's Kodesh for month is C H
right
O D E S H. Different spelling.
Yeah, different spelling. It's
almost the same sound.
Almost the same sound, right. So it's very interesting. I wonder if there ever, you know, the scribes ever got these two words confused. But
well, they got a lot confused.
Yeah, right, right. So holy Kodesh, and there's also a Kadash. What does Kadash mean?
Kadash means new.
Okay. So Kadash means new. And
like the new covenant, Berit Kadasha, the covenant that is new, that refers, that's Hebrew right. for the New Testament. Because right. it's not a testament, it's a covenant. Berit Kadasha.
Yes. Now, they define Kodesh with the Q-O. This is number 6944.
Right. And it's holy or set apart.
Yeah, set apart, consecrated, dedicated, hallowed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it means more, I think consecrated and dedicated are probably the two best definitions of Kodesh.
Yeah.
Okay, which also means set apart, because the thing, the fact of the matter is...
We are set apart people, those days are set apart to Yahweh.
Right, okay, that's what it means. It means set apart, because it does not necessarily mean sacred... Although it's supposed to be sacred, the fact is the Israelites as a set-apart people were rarely pious or obedient to Yahweh. They were often obedient to the ceremonies,
well,
but not to the law.
When they double it up, Kodesh, Kodesha,
okay.
or Kadasha, depending on the spelling of the thing, yeah. that's the Holy of Holies.
Okay.
That's the inner sanctuary. When it's doubled up like that. Okay. It also does mean holy in certain instances. If you can't find any other word to use, but set apart
is the main meaning.
Is the best definition of that, actually.
Yes. Yeah, and it does not necessarily mean holy in the sense of obedient to Yahweh's laws. You have to look at the context to get that particular definition out of it, okay? We're supposed to be obedient, we're supposed to be dedicated, we're supposed to be pious and holy, but most of the time Israel is not, okay? But we are, in spite of those things, right, stiff-necked, in spite of those things, we are set apart, dedicated to Yahweh, okay, covenanted to Yahweh, and he deals with us accordingly.
Well, he never breaks any of the covenants, we do.
Okay, so what do we have? What is our duty? Because the Feast of Trumpets doesn't have all of the, you know, for example, the Feast of Passover has a lot of commands about what we can eat, what we cannot eat. Okay, especially mm-hmm. unleavened bread, and
right.
We're supposed to commemorate the sacrifice that Yahshua made at Calvary, all right? Also commemorative. We don't have to do all of the ritualistic stuff that they did leading up to.
This actually commemorates when Moshe came down to give the law.
Okay. All right.
And this is a crying of joy that we received the Torah.
Yes. Yes.
Even though they had a golden calf and he broke the tablets, that's when he came down with the Torah. And see, the Torah is not just the Ten Commandments. It's all the commands in the books of Moshe, which were given out over a period of time in different books. Mm-hmm. You'll have a recounting of the story in one book, and then in the next book, it'll recount the same story and more information is given.
Yes. Okay, so on what occasions in the Old Testament are the trumpets sounded? For what purposes? And this is
on that day of Shavuot, which is the giving of the law.
Oh, okay.
That's when he came down. All of these things, the festival season is all bunched together. We've got three real big ones.
In the spring.
Bada bing, bada boom, bada boom.
Right, in the spring.
Because on the 27th of this month at sundown to the 28th is Yom Kippur. Now, they call that Day of Atonement, but
right.
I did a big show on that. My show in the morning on that day is all about Yom Kippur. It's a day of covering over. I'll cover that here in this show, too, in case anybody might miss mine. But I did a dedicated show. My show for Monday will have a full explanation with the Day of Trumpets.
Okay, very good.
So, and on Yom Kippur, I'm doing that. And I just did a show, I recorded a show about the High Shabbat of the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right. Okay.
So people will understand that.
Right. So we have the three spring feasts that are bunched together, and we have the day of Pentecost in the middle of beginning late spring, early summer, and then we have the fall feasts that are all bunched together in the fall. Okay. Although not as tightly as the spring feasts.
We've got three feasts right now within 2 weeks of two-week period. Right.
Yeah, they come fast and furious in their seasons. Now, what does the word moed mean?
That means appointed time.
Appointed time, okay.
Appointed time. Ohel moed means the tent of meeting, but it means the tent of appointment, really.
Right.
Ohel means tent. It's number 168 in the Hebrew. And Moed is appointed because that was the appointed place in that tent that Yahweh met with Moshe and Aharon and the priests. You know, only Moshe could go in, and only Aharon once a year. And that's where he met with them. That's why they call it the tent of meeting.
Right.
That was it. That's the metaphorical name of it. But it's the appointed tent.
Yes.
The tent of appointment.
Okay. So, now, according, I was going to say trumpets, Numbers 29:1 again, all it really tells us is that we have to have a congregation. It doesn't tell us about food or anything like this. Let me just quote Numbers 29:1 again. On the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly. So get the Israelites together, okay? Because this is exclusive to Israel. It's not for anybody else except Israelites, Caucasian Israelites today. And do no regular work, according to my translation. It is a day for you to sound the trumpets. Okay, so we gather and assemble to sound the trumpets.
All right, the sounding of the shofar itself was a call. Now, it was either a call to arms.
Uh-huh, okay.
A call to assembly, depending on what was sounded on it. They had signals.
Uh-huh, okay. So if you
and they would call this assembly, and on that day they would read the Ten Commandments.
Okay,
they read them.
Okay,
then everybody just had a big party.
Right. Okay. So it's not the stylized, very.
Oh, it's singing and dancing.
Okay.
And just yeah. You know. Blowing the trumpets and, we have the law. We have been spoken to by Yahweh. What a day of joy that he gives us the law.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Right, right.
It's a call to assembly to hear the law and then rejoice in the law. The giving of the law was special because he didn't give it to anyone else.
That's right.
Just to pure-blooded Israel. He didn't give it to the Jews.
Yeah.
Yes. Didn't give it to the Nubian Africans. Didn't give it to the Chinese.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Didn't give it to the Mexicans. Gave it to Israel.
Yeah.
And who is Israel?
Right, right. But the trumpets that the priests or those in charge of officiating the Feast of Trumpets, basically it's to announce the event, okay? Those trumpets are there to announce things.
Those are the silver trumpets.
Okay.
The trumpets are different.
Oh.
And they have crying of trumpets, but that's the English version, how they translate it.
I see.
The teruah is always a long blast of the shofar. Big, long cry of the shofar.
Okay.
Not the silver trumpets. The silver trumpets were war trumpets. And to call assemblies also, but the shofar was sounded throughout the land because of its range.
Uh-huh.
They would call hilltop to hilltop, and they could signal.
Yes. Yeah.
And they had different things, just like the army used to you have buglers when they had the mounted cavalry.
That's right. I'm sure that tradition.
All they used to show far, and they had prearranged signals. And if they called to assembly, they called throughout the land, the whole land heard. It'd be wah-woo on one hill, and it would be repeated wah-woo on another hill. Because that's really what it sounds like.
Yeah.
You've heard me do it.
Sure. Sure. I'll never forget.
Yeah, the whole campground heard it at Passover.
That's right. So what we're talking about here is, for different occasions, the trumpets probably have different sounds, or you know, like for taps, they play a particular melody for taps. For waking up, they play reveille. You know?
Well, the silver trumpets had multiple sounds that you could play on them.
Okay.
The shofar only has two sounds.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And there you can play little bitty blasts, and then a long blast and a medium blast.
Right.
And you know, but it only has two sounds, the ah and the ooh.
Right.
That's all it's got.
Okay, what about the coronation of a king, or the birth of a king? Was the shofar employed for that?
Yes, that is a momentous event. That is a call to everyone that something important has occurred.
Okay.
And it is a very different sound than the sounding of the silver trumpets.
Uh-huh, okay.
They have a different sound.
Yes, so the
if
Israelites...
I play a trumpet or a bugle, it is a sharper a sound, not this a big vibration created by the animal horn. The animal horn has its own vibratory qualities.
Yeah, that's the shofar.
You can distinctly tell a shofar from a metal trumpet.
Right, okay. Yeah, because it's made of, bone, right? It's kind of a bone...
No, actually, a horn, an animal horn, is a growth of hair.
Hair.
Hair, okay. Yes.
All right.
But there's all these long fibers in it, and they're very tightly knit.
Uh-huh.
The animal produces the glue that grows these horns. They're hollow.
Okay.
Or have pulpy stuff inside of them.
Naturally hollow, right.
And they clean them out. And they cut them off, and then they heat the end of it up push a forming rod down in it. And the hair sort of semi-melts and spreads out and makes a little tiny mouthpiece.
Okay.
That's why it's very difficult to sound.
Okay. Must take a lot of practice.
Yes, it does.
Yes. Okay. So in addition to announcing the Feast of Trumpets... Okay, and the birth of kings, the war trumpets, that would not be the shofar, or would it be? Would the priests use the shofar to make such an announcement before the silver trumpets?
No, the silver trumpets were used, they were getting ready for the war, and the priests went out with the troops.
Okay.
The Levites were not warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely.
Right.
They were killers.
Right, yeah. So soldiers,
and it also was used to bring in the Shabbat day.
Okay,
you sound the shofar
at the
opening and closing of the Shabbat service.
Yes. Okay. All right. So that is basically the ritualistic usage of the shofar in the Old Testament. I just want to quote a couple of New Testament verses because this also has a.
I have a point.
Okay,
go ahead. We took that tradition with us when we went into Europe, when we migrated to the Caucasus Mountains.
Yes, I was going to say
our
that.
Our tribe sounded on animal horns for signals. We took that with us. I watched a movie on YouTube last night about the Saxons.
Right.
A big bloody battle. Against some other, I think they were the Normans, but they were wearing Israelite headgear.
Right. Battle axe, because the
battle axe,
right? That was Israelite.
They used the shofar as a signal. So that movie actually showed that the people of that area, and they were Christians,
right? Yeah,
were Saxons,
right?
They were attacked by the Normans, I believe.
Yeah, who were also Israelites. Yeah,
they also said that the Saxons were Vikings.
Right? Similar.
The Vikings were Saxons.
Yes.
Sons of Isaac. So even that movie, they slipped up in that movie and showed the truth.
That's right. And unintentionally.
Oops.
Right.
Oops.
Yes. And we see that the migrations of the 12 tribes through the Caucasus way back in 745 BC, they left all kinds of Israelite/Hebrew artifacts that prove that the Caucasians derive from Israel, and the battle axe, the shofar, and
the paleo-Hebrew writings over here shows that the seafaring Israelites visited this continent.
That's right.
Way before Cristoforo Colombo.
Oh, yeah, 2000 BC. Solomon's ships even came to the New World. So there's a lot of evidence for that. So, but continuing here now, I want to quote a couple passages from the New Testament. For this is 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Mm-hmm. For Yahweh himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of Theos, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that,
is called the sound of the great shofar.
All right.
That was sounded on the day the sound of the shofar went out when Moshe received the law. It came down from the mountain. It was not sounded by Israel. The great shofar sounded. It will sound again on the day of Yahweh when Yeshua Messiah returns, and it will be heard worldwide.
Yes. So what Paul is saying here in first, let me finish it here. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And the clouds is used here figuratively to meaning lots of people, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever, because it's a fulfillment of the prophecy of the kingdom that has no end, namely the kingdom of Yahshua. But here we're being informed that there will, and as you just explained, there will be a very loud sound coming from where? From heaven? From everywhere?
Yeah.
That nobody will be able to mistake.
Well, you know, they can move between dimensions. I know that sounds all spooky and Hollywood and all of that stuff. We keep trying to compartmentalize and downsize Yahweh to something that we can mentally handle.
Right.
He is so vast and so mysterious and so all-knowing and all-powerful. We keep wanting to put him in one of our time frames when he is not bound by time.
A container.
Nor dimensions.
That's right.
He can be whatever he wants, whenever he wants, as much as he wants.
Yes. All right, now 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. Behold, I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment. Yeah. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed again.
Amen and amen.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So this Feast of Trumpets has a prophetic import, not just Old Testament. This is prophecy being fulfilled when Yahweh sends Yahshua back and his angels to kick butt on this planet.
It's going to be ugly.
That's right.
But not for us. Not for us.
So, Pastor Steve, what can we expect? Is it the sound of an earthquake? thunder and lightning.
Oh, no, no, it'll sound like a shofar. It'll okay. be a big blast, a long blast of the great shofar.
Okay. All right.
And it will be so vibratory, it will just shake everybody. I mean, it'll be just...
There will be a great shaking of the earth. Right. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So this Feast of Trumpets, and the reason why... Now, we're not... It's not one of the three major feasts. The three major feasts are, you know, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, where the men especially are commanded to gather every year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Trumpets seems to be a more relaxed, you know, it's a, not you can just gather yourselves where you are.
You know, yeah, and it's to be celebrated throughout the land. It's
right.
not to gather at Jerusalem.
Right.
It's okay. Everybody in the local assembly will gather.
Right.
And
right.
read the Ten Commandments will be read, and they will have a big celebration of receiving the law, the teachings.
Okay. All right.
Because the teachings encompass so much more than just the 10 words. They were all the food laws, and all this stuff was given to us over time through Moshe.
Right, right. Okay.
And
so,
it's a big deal.
Yes. So it's not necessary to leave home like the Feast of Tabernacles requires, because we're supposed to live in tents.
Correct.
And you know that requires leaving home.
Actually, if you can't go somewhere, you put up a brush shelter or a wood structure of natural material.
Okay.
In your backyard
or your
front yard.
Yeah.
And you put a table and chairs in it, and you read scripture. And if you cook food, you eat in it.
Uh-huh.
Your whole family's in there, and you understand that we lived in brush booths, which is what Sukkot means. It means a brush booth. For shelter,
okay,
all the time that we had left Mitzrayim. That's all they could do. They could put up a temporary shelter.
Okay, right. Yeah, because they were wandering in the desert for 40 years.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
They didn't have to worry about rain.
Yes.
not a lot of rain out there.
So you carry your home with you, in other words. And so this is
And they use natural material, palm fronds for the roof and stuff like that, just for shade.
Sure.
Because it was very hot out there.
Right. And it got cold at night.
It's all natural material. You don't use metal poles and stuff like that. You put up stuff. But today it's very hard to do that. So I'm going to cut some pine things and decorate my tent with it.
Okay.
And it's the spirit of the thing that Yahweh's looking for.
Sure.
He's looking for the spiritual celebration of the commanded feast.
Right.
And that's what we're going to do.
Right, yeah. I got ahead of myself a little there, because in between Trumpets and Tabernacles is Day of Atonement.
Well.
And, okay, so what do you have for us on that?
All right. Actually, it is not atonement. It means covering over. Kippur, the Kapporeth, is the cover for the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay.
To Kippur is to cover over that day before Yeshua arrived was a once a year covering over for the sins of Israel. And they used to have a slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And they slaughtered and made a big... I have propitiation here, which is closer in the English word, but it really needs to be covered over.
Okay.
I'll read it too.
Okay.
Ach b'asor l'kodesh ha-shabi'i hazeh yom ha-kippurim. The day of covering over, 3722.
Okay.
Yom ha-kippurim hu mikrai kodesh yiye lachem. Ve'initem et nafshotekem Wahikra betem ishe la Yahweh. Wakol malaka lo ta'asu be'etzem hayom hazeh ki yom kippurim hu lekaper alechem lipnei Yahweh alehekem. Ki kol hanefesh asher lo te'une be'etzem hayom hazeh wenikrata me'amecha. Wakol hanefesh asher ta'ase kol malaka ve'etzem hayom hazeh v'ha'habati et hanefesh ha'hiv mekerab ama kol malaka lo ta'asu kukat olam ledorotekam ve'kol moshebotekam Shabbat Shabbaton hu lachem va'initem et nafshotekam ve'tisha al kodesh ba'ereb me'ereb al ereb Tishbetu Shabbatekem.
Okay, and what does all
also,
that mean?
Also, on the 10th of this seventh month, a day of propitiation. That's it shall be a holy
convocation
again, Mikrai Kodesh, to you. And you shall afflict your bodies. That means to fast.
Right, okay.
No food, no water. And an offering of an offering made by fire to Yahweh. We can't do that anymore.
No, right.
And you shall do no work in that same day, because it is a day of propitiation, to make propitiation for you before Yahweh Elohim.
Yes.
That means your God. Okay?
Right, right.
For whatever person that shall not be afflicted in that same day, so a person that won't fast, he shall be cut off from among his people. That means he is just to be cast out.
Right.
And if he comes around, they kill him.
That's right.
And whatever person that does any work in that same day, that same person I will destroy, now that is number 6 in your Hebrew concordance, from among his people. You shall do no manner of work, a statute forever throughout your posterity. That's that Ladora Tecum. That's your posterity, your generations.
Right.
And all your dwellings, Moshe Botekam, it is to you a Shabbat Shabbaton. That means a high Sabbath.
Right.
A Sabbath of Sabbaths. And you shall afflict yourselves. In other words, you will fast. On the ninth of the month at evening, you shall set aside the time, 7/6, 7/3, for Shabbat. That is a high Shabbat, and that occurs on a Wednesday this year, sundown of Tuesday the 27th to sundown of Wednesday the 28th is Yom Kippur, the day of covering over. Now, it is a Christian holiday. Now, we fast in honor and obedience. But that propitiation, that covering over by the blood sacrifice, was accomplished forever by Yeshua.
Yes.
And we sing praises and praise him, and we pray to Yahweh, and we ask for strength and for forgiveness for Israel, and we do everything we can.
Yes.
That... follows Yahshua's teachings.
Right. Right. Now, let me quote Leviticus 16, 30 and 31. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It shall be a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. Now, of course, this does not necessarily involve the sacrifice of an animal, so it's not a blood ritual. In fact, Paul says that we are to offer ourselves as a perpetual sacrifice to Yahweh, okay? But this statute, I mean, this, the observance or commemoration of this feast day of Israel is to last forever.
All right, well, the priest did make a sacrifice. He went in.
Okay.
And he made a sacrifice for all of Israel that day.
Uh-huh. Okay.
There was a sacrifice involved, and there is no more Aharonic priesthood. Yeshua removed it because they were infested with the Edomites.
Right. Yes.
And they were teaching Talmudism instead of Torah. And he established the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek in English. And he, that means king of righteousness, and he is the king of righteousness, and he is our high priest.
Yes. So... okay, so in other words, the way
and Paul, it is that atonement has a connotation of permanence that you make amends for.
Right.
That is not the spirit of the word Kippurim. That means a covering over.
Okay, right.
And atonement does not mean that. Propitiation means that. It's a day of propitiation.
Right. I guess atonement is implied in that.
It is an error. It is a misuse of an English word that doesn't really carry that meaning. It means a covering over, literally.
Right. So, did this have anything to do at all with the scapegoat concept? No. Okay, please explain.
No, that was a different ritual.
Okay.
They had that day when they imparted the sins of Israel to that the goat for Yahweh and the goat for Azazel. I went through all of that.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just reading from Leviticus. It doesn't give all the information here in this section of Leviticus.
Right.
But that was the sacrifice once a year for propitiation for the sins of Israel.
Right.
And when they laid their hands on the head of the goat for sacrifice, that sacrifice would cover over their sins. When they laid their hands on the goat that was to be released to Azazel, the demon that causes sin,
right,
they put all that sin on that and released it and sent it back to
Azazel.
Azazel.
right.
So, hey, you give us this, now we give it back.
Yeah, we'll give it back.
This is yours. You all keep it out there. You have a good time.
Yeah, take it back. Right, take it back.
Well, it was very complicated.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Actually, with all that Yahshua went through, it simplified things. Believe it or not, it cut out all this rigmarole.
Right.
That we don't have to go through it anymore. We just have to recognize that he is the final perfect sacrifice.
Right. Now, does this Day of Atonement not also include like self-examination that we...
We look at ourselves. That is the day. Now, pardon me, folks, but I'm going to be very graphic, that the damnable Jews do their kol nidre.
That's right.
They disavow all vows. In other words, they can lie and cheat and steal and rob and kill, and it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Now, you tell me that's God's chosen people?
No, obviously
not. Oh, please.
Right. Yeah.
That's as devilish as you can get.
They forgive themselves in advance. That's not...
Now, I'm going to make vows, and they're all false, so I can rob these goy.
They actually have the audacity to use the word repentance with respect to their Feast of Atonement, right? Repentance means the swearing never to do it again.
Please forgive me, and you pound on your chest, and you do all that.
Right.
All that nonsense that they go through. Rabbinical added Talmudic laws.
Yes. Now, there's an interesting correlation here between the 10th day of Abib, which is, the day of selection, the selection of the Passover lamb. And that's actually the day that Yahshua rode into Jerusalem riding on an ass.
Colt of a donkey,
yes, and that's also on the 10th day of the 7th month, beginning as part of the fall feast, we have this feast of so-called atonement or propitiation. So, is there a connection here?
All ties in together nicely, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
So Yahweh's got a grand plan. We don't know all the reasons for all of it, but it means something to Him. Therefore, we are commanded to do it, and we do it.
Right.
I do.
Okay, so we do the soul searching.
I just pig out real heavy on the day before.
Right.
So I'm not going to eat. And when you're fasting, folks, you have to be real careful, especially if you have any health problems.
Right.
Yahweh doesn't want you to kill yourself. You don't go out and mow the lawn. You don't do any of that.
It's also a day of rest.
You stay around and you read Scripture. You read the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And you contemplate your life. How does your life fit Yahweh's plans?
Right.
How does your life match up with the teachings of Yahshua, Messiah?
Amen.
How can you be a better servant and be a witness to Yeshua, Messiah, to others.
A better Israelite.
It's very much, as you say, a day of personal contemplation.
Yes. And where Yeshua in the New Testament says, let your light so shine before men.
Yeah, you don't put it under a bushel.
No, that's right.
No,
that's
sir.
Right. So this is a day of soul searching that you become an exemplary Israelite after the fast. And how should I put it? Depriving the physical animal helps to accomplish that. Anytime I do fast, I notice that by putting the body under this fast, the body fights back. You know, it starts grumbling for food. You get hunger pangs, etc., etc. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to control our animal, right? Our animal nature.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't this part of what a Feast of Atonement's all about?
Yes, it's a purification, a spiritual purification through physical deprivation.
Physical deprivation. Very good.
And you need to fast. If you're going to fast, you're going to fast smart.
Yes. Yeah.
You want to fast smart. You don't want to just go out and just fast and then live a normal day. This day is set apart.
Yes. Dedicated.
Just for this. You read, you stay in scripture all day, basically.
Yeah. It's not just
what
fast.
You do. That's how you celebrate this.
Yeah.
And you give thanks to Yeshua and Yahweh for that final perfect propitiation that Yeshua made. It is now a Christian day.
Yes.
That is a celebration of Yahweh's love for us through Yeshua.
Yes. All right. With about 13 minutes left, Feast of Tabernacles.
What do you have
for us there?
Yeah.
You're building your booth right now. I can tell.
Okay.
I can tell.
I'll just hit the Hebrew right off and just hit it running. Daber el b'nei Yisrael l'mor, b'kamisha asar yom l'kodesh ha-shbi'i adzei, chag ha-sukot, shiba'at yomim la-yahweh, b'yom ha-rishon mikrai kodesh kol melechet aboda lo ta'asu, shiba'at yomim takribu ishe la-yahweh b'yom ha-shmi'i Mikra kodesh ye lachem. Wehikrabetem ishe la Yahweh atzeret hiv. Kol meleketh aboda lo ta'asu. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of Sukkot. That means booth.
Right.
Chag Sukkot. Feast is Chag, and Sukkot is booths. For 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. That's a high Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. We no longer can do that. The tabernacle is gone.
Right.
On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation to you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly. 6116.
Yes. So
okay. Atzeret.
Okay. So this
you
is 8 days.
You shall do no servile work.
Yes.
There's so 8 days. This year in October, sundown on the 2nd, that would be Sunday night, begins the High Shabbat. The High Shabbat will end on sundown of the 3rd, but that is a weekly Shabbat as well.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the 10th day of October, sundown on the 9th to sundown on the 10th, is the last great day, and that is also a High Shabbat.
Right. Right.
So,
okay. All right. Let me quote from Deuteronomy 16:13. Gives us a little more information here. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. So this must take place after the harvest, right? Because where would they get the food from to leave home for this 8-day period? And probably many of them had to travel many days or several days before even getting there. So they had to have food and provisions, clothing, et cetera, et cetera.
They didn't go that far outside of the towns. You don't have to all assemble at the temple in Jerusalem.
Okay.
When this was given, there was no temple in Jerusalem. Wherever you were, that's where you celebrated. And even if you had a regular house, you went out and you put up a little brush shelter like we can do today. If you own a house, you go out in the backyard and you build a brush shelter.
All right, so a campground in Kentucky would do just fine.
Yes, sir. Lots of brush around to make shelters, isn't there?
That's right. That's right.
Sleep under a bush.
Yes, right. So, ideally, the Feast of Tabernacles is to be celebrated outdoors in tents. However, you said also that you could just set it up in your backyard if you have no other alternative. The point is to get out of your domicile.
Point is to keep it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep the feast.
It is spiritual intent that Yahweh is looking at now.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And in Leviticus 23... 39, the eighth day also is a day of rest. So this is an eight-day feast from Sabbath to Sabbath. And the eighth day, let me quote here from the Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary. The Israelites were commanded during the whole period of the festival to dwell in booths, which were erected on the flat roofs of houses in the streets or fields, and in the trees made use of are by some stated to be the citron, the palm, the myrtle, the willow, while others maintain that people were allowed to take any trees they could to obtain for the purpose of building shelter. While the solid branches were reserved for the construction of the booths, the lighter branches were carried by men who marched in triumphal procession, singing psalms and crying Hosanna, which signifies, save, we beseech thee, etc., etc. Okay, it's also a season of great rejoicing, but isn't it primarily what the primary activity of the Feast of Tabernacles is? Isn't it the reading of the law?
Well, that goes on as well, because it's so close. It's a spiritual thing. What you do in the booths is a commemorative.
Right.
There are also the free will offerings. We can't do any of that anymore. There is no temple. Yeah. Temple is within us.
Right.
And it says you will get on the first day the fruit of majestic trees. The Jews maintain it has to be a citron. They grow them and can sell them, and they ship them all the way over here. You can't eat them.
Yeah.
It's like a huge lemon.
Right. Okay.
Fruit of majestic trees, leaves of palm trees, and the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh Elohim 7 days.
Yes.
And you shall keep it as a feast 7 days in the year, statute forever in your posterity. Yeah. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in Sukkot 7 days. All that are native born of Israel shall dwell in Sukkot.
Okay.
That your posterity may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in Sukkot when I brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim.
Yes.
I am Yahweh Elohim. That's the whole thing.
So all of these feast days emphasize the fact that we are Israel, and that we're supposed to remember who we are.
And we are to remember who our God is.
That's right.
That's the main thing.
Yes.
We are to remember that He brought us out of Mitzrayim, and this mess that we are in right now, due to our own apostasy that we have slipped into, He will bring us out of this as well.
Right.
It's a future thing as well as a past thing.
That's right. It's interesting.
Wait on Yahshua. It tells you right there in 2 Thessalonians about the flaming fire and the mighty angels.
Yes.
It's going to be a bloodbath, and it's not going to be our blood.
That's right. That's right. This last great day is actually mentioned in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38, which I'll quote. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Yahshua stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, because he was the fulfillment of the prophecy.
Amen.
Streams of living water will flow from within him. I can't imagine any Israelite not wanting to have this experience.
Yeah, the water of life, the word of Yahweh.
Amen.
It's water for your soul. It gives your soul something to drink. Drink the word of Yahweh. It'll fill you up and sustain you forever. That's yes. What sustained Moshe up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights with no food or water.
Yes, yes. And that may be what it takes for us to survive the judgment day period, right?
You know, he can give life. We don't have anything to eat for 3 months.
He'll provide.
And we still stay healthy. That's by his hand.
That's right. Yahweh provides.
You know, I know in my life what he's done for me. So I just, you know, I no longer question.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm his. Here I am, Father.
Right.
Praise Yahweh.
Yeah, and of course you have to be obedient to his laws, or try the best you can to obey his laws if you want this bounty. And for those Israelites living or listening, Malachi 3:10 guarantees that Yahweh will deliver the goods for you, but you have to be a faithful and true Israelite to have the bounty poured out from heaven upon you. So, but if you're a sinner, it ain't going to happen. It's just
if you are those who honor him with your lips, but your heart is far from him, you're history.
That's right.
That's all. I can say.
Right.
You can't play at it. This isn't a game. It's not a social club.
Right. One more quotation, since we only have about 3 minutes left, and this is from Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. Now, of course, this is both figurative and literal, because it's a great city that comes down upon planet Earth. In fact, it encompasses the whole Earth, on which we live, and we will be the administrators of his government when this event occurs. Folks, mm-hmm. This is something to look forward to. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Well, what 12 crops of fruit could possibly be meant here?
And the 12 nations? And the 12 gates of the great city of Jerusalem.
Yes.
And Yeshua prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.
Yes.
We're not going there, folks. It's coming here.
It's coming here. Right.
So much for the rapture.
Yeah, so much for the rapture. Well, yeah, you want to be here when this happens.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss
this. I'm in the army now.
Yeah, right.
Yahweh showed me how.
Yeah. So, bang, bang, bang. We have the Feast of Trumpets, which is the announcing. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's the announcing of the Second Coming. The Feast of Atonement, which tells us you better clean your act up. Otherwise, if you don't, you won't be a beneficiary of what's coming at the Feast of Tabernacles when Yahshua returns and declares himself on the last great day. You better be ready.
Yes, the Feast of Tabernacles basically is when he's coming back.
That's
he
right.
said, come back, and he pitched his tent among us.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't need a ton of bricks to fall on me to get that one.
Yes, yes. And
I'm waiting.
Yeah. And
I believe I
can't remember if it's Acts or John where it tells us that he will come back to us the exact same way that he left. And the apostles witnessed him kind of ascending into heaven, okay?
Yep.
And so he's going to come down from heaven, and we will all see it, will we not?
Yeah, no rocket ship. He don't need it.
Right, he doesn't need no stinking rocket ship. All right, folks, I think we did the best we could to explain the meaning of the fall feasts and what we're supposed to do. And to the best of your ability, as these fall feasts come up, do your best to celebrate them as an Israelite is supposed to. And we thank you all for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for helping explain the meaning of these fall feasts.
Shalom Aleichem.
All right. Thank you all. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Good night.